Sound Words Tape Ministry Queensland. It's now the 19th of April 1987 and at the CYC camp at Burleigh for the Easter study weekend, guest speaker being Bill Thorburn. We're now at cassette number 6, this being Sunday evening, and it's part 2 of the title of the lecture, The Devotion Demanded of a Disciple. There will also be a question-answer period and a time of discussion.
The paper everywhere. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the response. And I have tried to collate the information that you gave me. So we shall work on that. And we're going to need quite a deal of assistance and participation from everyone, because this is an issue that belongs to us all. And if anyone is here this evening who we're not here this morning, we're dealing with the devotion of the disciple, and we touched on a point this morning of the need to be with Jesus, the essential need to spend time with him. And if we don't spend time with him, how can we be a disciple? A disciple must spend time with the Master. We have been saying throughout the weekend that you can't be a Christian without being a disciple. If you're not a disciple, you're not a Christian. And I know that's a little hard to wear. And maybe later on, as we have our discussion time together, you might just may like to have some of those points clarified. But if we're saying we're Christians, we're saying we're disciples. And if we're saying we're disciples, we must be spending time with the Master. And yet, as is almost universal, there is a great difficulty in finding time to spend time with the Master. There's so many hassles that come in. And we're going to discuss the issue of this daily devotions or quiet time, whatever term we want to use. The need to spend time with the Master. Let's have a moment of prayer and then we'll share together and see what we can find out. Lord, we acknowledge as we come to you right now that we are dependent upon you to help us resolve these issues. Lord, you know each of us intimately. You know our lives, our strengths, our failings. You know where we've been winning in our Christian lives and also where we've been failing. You know the difficulties confronted in wanting to be consistent in sharing our lives with Christ. And Lord, we come very openly tonight and we pray for your wisdom. We ask that the Holy Spirit will minister to us and that lead us into all truth. And that as we share together, as we fellowship over this issue, we might learn from one another and be able to contribute to each other's lives. We may build one another up in the faith. So, Lord, we look to you for your help and blessing tonight as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me run through the list that I put together after going through the notes that you gave me. And not a lot of detail in this, except we've categorized it into such headings as tiredness. These are reasons for having difficulty with the devotion, daily devotion. Tiredness, motivation, unorganized, no goal setting, poor study guides, lack of concentration, lack of time, distractions, lack of understanding, issue of sin or guilt, responsibility such as marriage or work or studies, obedience, and one very strong problem was that of apathy. That actually, I think, summed up most of it. But that's not a nice thing to say, but it's a true statement. Okay, out of all of those, tiredness scored 8 and lack of concentration scored 8. I wonder if there's any correlation there. Okay, tiredness and lack of concentration, could they be linked together? Because 8 marked those. Motivation also was very high, with 7 indicating that. Distractions rated 6. And then we went into other responsibilities, and then obedience and understanding, time, the lack of time, and being unorganized with no goals, all scored about the same. So that's the breakdown of the different areas of common difficulties. We need to work through tonight just how then are we going to overcome these. Let's look at the first two that seem to be very much to the fore, the issue of tiredness and the issue of lack of concentration. We open our Bibles and we want to read them, we want to learn from them, but oh, I am so tired. How many of us, by the way, have ever gone to sleep on our knees or ever gone to sleep praying in whichever position you pray in? How many of us ever done that? Yes, yeah, that's interesting. Now, there's many ways of overcoming that, and we'll talk about those in a moment. Many of us indicated today that there is the lack of concentration. We want to try and overcome these, and I would like to learn from you. You'd like to learn from each other. Some of the ways that you have overcome the tiredness issue. Perhaps some of you, as I said this morning, the battle of the bed, for example. Have any really had success in beating that? Now, I do know that our makeup, I will come back to people in a moment there, I'm wanting help here. I do know that we are different temperaments. I know that some people are owls and some are fowls. And it's when you've got an owl and a fowl who are married, they have interesting lifestyles. But still, that's just a fact, and we need to make adjustments. But let's ask some here who have actually been able to win the battle of the bed, this battle of tiredness, which everyone faces, and see how you've been able to achieve it. Now, somebody started with a hand up. Okay, would you like to tell us? Wait till the microphone gets there so we can perhaps hear a little and speak up with a clear voice.
Before I was a Christian, Mum made it sort of a discipline to get an early night, and 9:30 was bedtime, and I just enjoy, going to bed early. Like, I go to bed early and I have the alarm clock set for 6:30, wake up and I'm fine, jump in the shower.
Okay. So the solution that you find to tiredness then is get to bed early. Is that a reasonable solution? No, come on, let's think it through. We're saying it's not a reasonable solution. What's the problem? So there's study, there's too much to do. Not all can get to bed early, you've got bigger workloads. Is that what we're saying? Okay. Shift workers, yes, that's another problem. Well, let's address these. Not everyone can get to bed early because of different workloads, all right? But keep in mind, and there is a lack of discipline demonstrated here, I wonder if it's possible for us to get to bed earlier than we often do. Now, I'm a great one to talk. You ask my wife. I'm a terror for going to bed or going to sleep late. And rarely, does our light go out before 11 o'clock at night, usually later. And I try to, my alarm goes at 6, and I'll usually try and be up by 6:30. That's the battle of the bed, you see. So, it's easy. I'm saying here, look, I know what it's like. I do battle with it. So, okay, let's see if we can catch some more input on this matter of tiredness and the battle of the bed. Tim?
I find getting up and going for a run. That's the way I've beaten it.
That helps you?
I've beat it by doing that, yeah. I have beaten it by doing that.
Okay, listen carefully, because that shocked some of us. But to be able to get up and go for a run, that means you're awake and you're alert. And how long does it take you to run?
I'd run 2 miles.
How long does it take you?
Oh, 10 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. What time do you get up?
6:30.
You're up at 6:30, yes. And what time would you normally get to bed?
Oh,
average?
11:30.
Okay. See, different people have got different capacities. And we've got to recognise this. But we've got to see what people are really doing, you see. Okay, somebody else who thinks they've had a bit of a win here.
I'm a shift worker and I find doing aerobic in the morning, it gets me alive.
Okay.
And I can get into the day's work before I go to work.
Okay, so you're a shift worker though?
Yeah.
Yes, but when you get up, it's into some exercise to get alert and get going. It's a discipline.
Yeah.
All right? Now, just listen carefully to what's coming through here. There is already a common denominator between each of the people who have said something about how they have been winning the battle of the bed.
I start work pretty at 5 o'clock in the morning, and while the machinery is warming up, I get half an hour chance at work to be able to actually do my quiet time there.
Okay, so you're a very early starter, and there's opportunity for a regular quiet time at work. What time do you go to bed at night?
Between 11 and 12.
And you're up at 5. Okay, that blows our minds, doesn't it? Everybody has a different capacity. Okay, you have, you know, how is it that you can get up at 5 o'clock? How do you feel when you wake up, you know?
Pretty tired.
Yes, but what then makes you get up at that time?
My father.
Okay, there you are. You've got somebody who's on the ball there. Somebody else, yes, there's another person who's got the battle.
I've found that unless you've really got a desire for the word, that you won't want to get up in the morning. You think, oh, turn over, go back to sleep if you had a late night. And I found to just really, hey, Lord, really give me a hunger and a love for your word, and you wake up in the morning, and he'll answer that prayer.
Yes. Okay. I appreciate the comment. Anyone else? Another one over here.
I think that it's sometimes if you've got a lot of problems in life, and I think everybody's got a problem that they know that their parents can't help them with or anybody else can help them with, and only God can help them with. So I think the desire is driven to actually spend a few hours even on the weekend, you know, studying the word. But, I mean, that's not every day. I realise that. But, I mean, if you've really got a problem, that will drive you to seek the Lord's advice, because he's the one that gives you the security and the answers to the problems that you've got.
All right, so you're saying motivation will move you.
Yes, in problems.
Yes, well, that's a motivation there. We want a resolution of something and then we make an effort. Anyone else want to add to this issue of the battle of the bed and tiredness? Yes? We're still looking for good answers at the moment.
Well, I found that I just don't function in the morning. And I found that if I change my quiet time from in the morning to at night, because I'm a night person,
yes.
I got more out of it.
Yes.
Changing the time, I was more awake, I was alert, I could think at night time, I can't think in the morning, and that helped me.
Okay, so you're an owl person in that sense, and are you able to be consistent with this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Yes.
I know one period of time when I was working a long way out of the city from where I lived, I just changed the type of quiet time I had. I actually used the cassette in my car that had scripture readings because I didn't have the time to sit down and use my Bible.
Right.
So I listened to it.
So there was adjustments made to get an input of the Word of God. Overall, one of the real issues is this of motivation, an issue of priority. I am a firm believer that we will always do what we want to do. Hear me well on this. People will always do what they want to do. And I have proved that over many years now of observing people in all sorts of situations, irrespective of their age or their sex or their positions in society. I have often spoken to people who are so busy because of their heavy commitments of work that they cannot spare 10 minutes to meet over a certain issue, and they're so flat out they can't do that. And next thing I find that they're off all day fishing, gone fishing, or gone somewhere else doing this or doing that, something that they want to do, and everything else has moved to adjust to do what they want to do. Do you agree with me on this, by the way? That we will all, you think of the things that you really want to do, and it's amazing how we can move things in our lives to achieve it. Right or wrong? I'm sort of talking to myself here, you see, because that's a fact. If there's something that we want to do, we will see that it's done. We are highly motivated because it's our desire. And then we apply this to our Christian life and our devotions, our time with the Lord, and where do we rank that in order of priority? Ooh, where do we? I think of my own situation. Come Thursday morning, I'm normally up at 6 o'clock without any difficulties, because I hit off golf at 7:30 in the morning. Okay, there's several of us who hit 9 holes of golf early on Thursday morning. And I can get up easier on Thursday morning than I can any other morning. Okay, now that's awful, isn't it? I maintain it is far more important to spend time with the Lord than hit a golf ball. And yet I enjoy hitting a guy. I enjoy spending time. I really do. I enjoy immensely time in the Word. I'm in a privileged position because my life is taken up with working through the Word of God, and I enjoy it all the time. It's a tremendous thrill to be able to take hold of God's Word and continue to learn from it. You see, and I enjoy it. It's not a drag to me to read God's Word. I have a hunger to get more and more from it. And I get very frustrated sometimes, and I find that I'm allowing other things to force me away from it. I allow that, you see. But the point I'm making, while I am as committed as that to the Word of God, when I've got an appointment like that to play golf, being up and out. What is it? It's motivation. And we need to recheck. I get convicted, you see, on this point so often, and say, right, I'll sort my priorities once again, and we'll go to it. But are you hearing what I'm saying here? It is the position that we place our devotional time with the Lord in that really counts. Just where on our list of priorities is it? I know that many of you are studying, and we say, I just don't get time to study because my studies... I don't get time to study the Bible because my studies are absorbing it. Again, my experience in working with students for a long time now is that any student who continues to commit themselves to the study of God's Word is a far better secular student. I've heard that over and over again. When they do not push God's Word aside to learn other things, if they continue to learn from His Word, they do far better in their normal studies. The beginning of wisdom is what? You know that one? What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, to be able to appreciate God for who He is. As we learn of God, then we will be much wiser. Now, how do we translate this into our lives? How important do we see the need to spend time with the Lord? How important is it to learn from His Word and to hear Him? In a list of priorities, where would you put it overall? Okay, on a 1 to 10 list, where should that priority be? Now, I've changed that. I'm saying, where should that priority be? 1 to 10. You say number 1, okay? Anyone else like to change that, add to it? 1 to 10, where should that be? Everyone agree that it should be number 1? Anyone disagree? I'm not going to jump on you. 1 disagrees, 2 disagrees. Okay, we've got 2. Would you guys, do you want to share with us your thinking there?
We should really aim to love the Lord and love others, and study should really come up second.
Did you all catch that? Okay, repeat it please.
I find that it's better to get out and love everyone and show our love and really use our study as well. It comes as either together or second. Study's important, but if we can't love with our hearts, how can we study? If we don't love the Lord,
yeah,
we can't really study.
Right,
Yes? That's what she's just trying to say in a way, is that the desire has to be there? Is that what you sort of...
Yeah.
You've got to
yes.
have...
Yes. But at this point, we're just trying to prioritise things, and then how we approach it and our motivation will adjust for that. I'm just trying to get an idea of how important we see this. Dave, you wanted to make a comment, please?
I agree with Sharon. I love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And then love the Word.
Yes. I'm thinking here that if we really love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul and with all our mind, there should be a desire to spend time with him. And I would find it fairly difficult to divorce the two there, if that's not a bad word to use, separate the two. I would assume that would be part of it. It's our love for the Lord and our appreciation of him would say, I need to spend time with him. That's most important. And then we run it through. Did somebody else, did I see a hand? Yes, another hand over here.
Yeah, I was thinking that he'd be on the first priority, spending time with him, because wasn't it Mary and Martha who Martha was racing around, but Mary sat at his feet, Christ's feet, and he said, "Listen, Martha, you're racing around being worried about things, but Mary is doing the thing which is more needful. Mm-hmm. She's at my feet," and then from that it expresses in love.
Mm. Right, I think overall what we're really acknowledging that it is really a high priority in our lives to spend time with the Lord Jesus. We're not, now we've got to work out how we do it and when we do it and what time we spend and how we approach it, all of that. But we're just trying to work through how important is it really. And I think we're all being very truthful and saying, hey, it ranks really very, very high in the life of us as Christians. And yet, that's the thing that we have difficulty with. Remember, the enemy does not want any of us to spend time with Jesus. As we spend time with him, our lives are impacted. No matter where we are or what we're doing, if we're spending time with him, people will know what? That we've been with him. It will impact us so much that wherever we are, our lifestyle will be different. We'll have a different approach, a different capacity. We'll be able to cope in a different way because we are spending time with him. A question I sometimes ask people, I say, what is the most important thing in the Christian life? And it's interesting the answers we get. What is the most important thing in the Christian life? And your answer to that will tell me a lot about your approach to Christianity. Let me tell you what I believe the answer is. the most important thing in the Christian life is our daily walk with Jesus. I'm not saying just our quiet time, but our daily walk. When do we walk with him? When do we walk with him? How long? All day. Do you recognize that? When does he leave us? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our daily walk. How conscious of his presence are we throughout the day? It varies, doesn't it? Our consciousness of his presence varies. When do we start becoming conscious of the Lord's presence in our lives? He has said, I am with you always. We forget. When we forget, we are worse off. And so if we're able to maintain this constant consciousness of his presence, that also will have a massive impact in our lives. And the more time that we can spend with him, the more real his presence is. We're far more aware of it. When we wake of a morning, how long before we identify the Lord's presence? That's the competition I run with myself every morning, to see when I am conscious of God's presence in my life. The latest I seem to go is the shower. Often I'm having a fairly good conversation with the Lord by the time the shower's on. And I'm aware of that. I love to wake up first thing in the morning and think of the Lord first up. Good morning, Lord, you know. It's nice to just be aware of your presence, and I'll start sharing my life with the Lord at that point. That's what I try and work on. But often I'm saying, boy, Lord, it took the shower to wake me up this morning and to be conscious of you. Occasionally I might even, you know, if I'm buzzing about other things, and I think, Lord, I haven't even thought of you yet. But most mornings I'm there before by the time the shower's on. And I don't know about you whether you operate that way. That's just me, you see. We're all different. But to try and develop an awareness of his presence. And then when we go throughout the day, right. But it is tremendous to be able to say, Lord, I just want to spend these moments with you. I've got these things I need to share. There's things I need to learn from you. And all of that is equipping us. Most of us physically will certainly hop into the day and have a good physical feed. Some people will skip breakfast. Okay? How many people skip breakfast and lunch? Just a few. Jackie, you've got your hand up. I won't say anything I could, you know. You skip breakfast and lunch. See what happens when you skip breakfast and lunch? I'm only kidding. We're friends, aren't we, Jackie? Or we were. But sooner or later, we do develop that hunger for food. And it would be delightful if we had the same approach. Now, we recognize that it's important, but we need the motivation to do it. Can anybody give us as a group some motivation? What could motivate us to actually do something about spending some time with the Lord each day? Now, we're not even talking about when at the moment, but we're saying, okay, it is important. How now can we be motivated to do something about it? I'm motivated to get up early to hit golf. Bing, you know, no worries. But yes. That's a fair start. Oh, that's neat.
Motivated. Say, good Lord, I'm not motivated. I don't have the desire that I should for your word.
We're okay.
To tell him that, I think.
Tremendous.
Say, I want to have that
desire. Okay, did you hear this? Yeah. I want to have it. No worries about that. Tremendous. Okay, how can we sort of remind ourselves? And it really gets to bringing the mind in control, having desires. And I'll share a couple of things with you later, which will really reinforce the responsibility that falls back on our shoulders for action. What do we do when we really want to remind ourselves of something very important? Yes. Big voice.
Leave a note on the fridge.
Right on. Yes. Okay, I'll buy that. A note on the fridge. What do you do? No, I better be fair. What are some of the things you do just before you go to bed? Where are you before you're going to bed? Now, okay, let's be honest. Some might clean their teeth. Have a thought of a note on the mirror. Okay, quiet time, devotion at a certain time. Okay, if it is that you go to the loo last thing, have a note on the back of the door. Okay? Remind yourself, somewhere where there's a constant reminder, my goal for today, or my goal for the morning. Yes, there's another hand at the back.
Yeah, treat it like your goal. Think, oh, I've got quiet time in the morning. Treat it like something you want.
Okay, see the thinking here? Hey, do you realise... Yeah, do you realise that we have the opportunity of actually communicating with whom? Huh? Who do we have the opportunity of communicating with? You all hear that? The creator of the universe. See, if we are really convinced in our own minds that Jesus is who he claims to be, we need to sharpen up on our action. Right, another comment coming here.
Well, I found it a little bit helpful. Is the last thing I do, just as I jump into bed, is you put your alarm, set your alarm clocks off, and an idea just to put my Bible right there. So
okay.
Just before I'm going to bed.
There's a reminder. Good value. Look, here's an interesting thing. Again, we're talking about motivation. Just after Christmas, we chose to go down to Melbourne for the mayoral prayer breakfast. The Lord Mayor of Melbourne and distinguished guests and so on, and we happened to be able to get an invite to go down there. And Chuck Colson was the speaker. Yeah, good value. But we had to get up a lot earlier to make that. And it might have been a 5 o'clock up in the morning to get organised to run into Melbourne for that. And say, oh, that's on, let's go. Okay, motivation. We can do it. How more important is spending time with the Lord Jesus than meeting with other people? We lose our sense of priority because it's something we can just do any day, any time. And we begin to lose the importance of it all. Somebody else making a comment here?
I haven't actually put this into practice, but it's a thought I've had for a while. I sleep on a double-decker bunk, and I'm only 3 feet from the ceiling. And I had mind of sticking a thing on the ceiling with writing on it.
Yes.
Before I go to bed, it's the last thing I see, and if I roll over and look up, and I wake up in the morning.
All right. Constant reminders. What we need to do, which we'll talk about a little in a few moments, is that we need to develop a life habit. Okay, we need to learn to develop life habits. We do them easily. There's a couple down here wanted to have a share.
My greatest motivation at the moment is other people. My parents, they get up in the morning and walk to the loo, and they're sitting there reading their Bibles. And Dad goes into his room every morning and prays for at least half an hour.
Okay, so you've got a model before you at the moment. Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Tremendous. Okay, patterns being set. Yes.
I want to remind myself of something. Before I go to bed, I always ask the Lord to remind me when I wake up in the morning to jog my memory on the one thing I wanted to remember. So if we ask the Lord before we go to bed to remind us in the morning to do that, what we wanted to do.
Okay. I don't know if you all heard that. That's an interesting one. Can I tell you a personal experience I had as a very young believer, a new believer, and I'd been encouraged to spend time with God in prayer and in Bible reading, and I was going through the same battle of the bed and wanting to get up and sort of going to sleep on my knees and 2 hours later feeling cold and all stiff, Melbourne weather. And so one night as I was going to bed, I said, Lord, I really would like you to wake me up in the morning, but I don't want to wake up at a normal time because I wouldn't know whether that was you waking me up or whether it was just habit. So I said, Lord, how about waking me up at 22 minutes past 4 in the morning? I woke up in the morning and I rolled over and I said, oh, I wonder what the time is. 4:22. Golf when I got out of bed. I was out of bed and I spent some time praying and reading my Bible. Oh dear, I said I wasn't going to stay in that morning. But I'm not saying you have to test the Lord like that. And I think God's very gracious, and I was a very young believer. But I've never forgotten that, I tell you.
Well, what I have done is put the alarm just out of reach, so you've got to get out of bed to turn it off.
The electric ones work. Okay, Craig.
I've got a sheet from my cousin, from a cousin of mine, and it was called the Fraction Faction, and the whole idea is accountability. It's worked over 100 days, and over those 100 days, you end up with a fraction of how many days in that 100 days you spent on a daily devotion. So if you've been going for 10 days, hopefully your fraction will be 10 over 10, but most usually it's maybe 6 over 10 or something like that. And so in a group or a circle of friends, you can ask people, how's your fraction going? And because you're accountable to someone else that can come and talk to you and say, well, listen, how are you going? Or, you know, an improvement. Well, then you can use your faction like that.
Good. Appreciate that. And that's one thing I want to raise in a few moments is this matter of accountability. Accountability. And that makes a big difference. Did I see somebody else with a hand at the back? There's two to go and then we'll move on. Jackie's got something to share.
The reason why I have no breakfast is because my mind works better and I don't feel so full. I can do things better.
Good. Okay, you know what Watchman Nee used to say, don't you? Watchman Nee, a very fine Asian Christian from some time back, he had a little saying which was, no Bible, no breakfast. If he didn't read his Bible first, he wouldn't eat. That's a tremendous challenge. Now, somebody right up the back.
And also helps if you get to bed early the night before.
Yes, actually, that was one of the things that came up much, much earlier, and it's very real. And that's the big discipline. If it is that we are getting to bed later, well, we sometimes have to make sacrifices. And who's going to be sort of sacrificed, the Lord or our sleep? Depends on priority there. Okay, let's see if we can recap a moment and then we'll try and pick up some of the answers to some of the other issues as we go through. We recognize from a Christian point of view that spending time with the Lord each day is of an extremely high priority. Most of us would rate it as being the number one priority in our lives to spend time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to spend time with the Creator of the universe, to be able to share with Him and gain His wisdom and His direction for our lives. So many people want to know God's will in their lives individually, but they don't spend time with the Lord. They can't hear Him. And I would really believe that as we walk close to Him, we'll hear His voice much more clearly. We will be very conscious of the path that we should be walking. So if you're wanting to know God's will for anything, one of the first questions I normally ask a person, how close is your walk with the Lord day by day? If it's not a close walk, well, you'd better sharpen up, otherwise you'll never hear His voice. Now, I'm not talking about hearing it with our ears, but through the perception of our fellowship with Him and the direction of His word. So we're saying, right, we see that, but we've got to overcome the daily pressures that we face. We need to acknowledge, yes, this is a top priority in my life, and I want to commit myself to a specific time. Now, we're going to set goals. Okay, we're setting a goal. If you do not set a goal, you won't go anywhere. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had archery here at camp, but this is what happens. If we had a bow and arrow here and no target, you know, just watch out, anything will happen. But let's assume we now have placed a target over there, and I put the arrow in the bow and I pull it, and the arrow sort of, you know how it goes, it doesn't want to sit in there. But eventually we get the idea, we pull it back and it goes twang and lands a metre in front. Well, I tried. And I try again and twang, it's about the same. And I try again, I might get a little bit further. The thing that starts to show out is that at least I'm beginning to head in the right direction because there's a target I'm aiming at. And eventually I will get further, and the more I try and the more I practice, I'll eventually hit that target. Mightn't get a bullseye. Now and again I'll get a bullseye, but I would at least be heading in that direction. I will be winning because we have set a target, a goal. And the thing that I want to encourage every one of us here tonight is, if we say this is true, that it's a very, very high priority, will you establish it as a goal in your life? My goal that I'm going to set for tomorrow, we're still at camp, that's disorganisation, our program is different, but I'm going to set a goal tomorrow to spend time with the Lord alone. And my goal for Tuesday when I'm back home, when I'm free of all the hustle and bustle of camp life, but back into the pressure of normal living, I'm going to set it my goal also to spend time with the Lord on Tuesday. We start to make goals, but they are reachable goals and they are measurable goals. Sometimes people will say, well, I just want, my goal is to spend more time with the Lord. That's not measurable. See, it's too vague. But a specific goal, each day I will spend time with the Lord. Now we need to specify how long. How long do you want to spend with the Lord on, let's go Tuesday. We're going to get away from here now and we'll be back home. Can you jot down on your piece of paper there how long, tell you, how much time do you think you can give the Lord? Be real. Don't go, you put in huge times that you've got no show of keeping. Could you spend 2 minutes with him alone? You know, out of the 24 hours that you've got in the day, could you devote 2 minutes to spend alone with the Lord? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Dare you think of 20 minutes? 30 minutes? I don't know. Your priority. But will you say, yes, I am going to spend, I am going to organise my time so that I have got X number of minutes that I dedicate to the Lord where I will spend that with him alone. Are you happy to do that? Are you happy? Nod? Nod? Wave your hands. Will you be in it? Okay. Anyone find that that's not on? I'm really putting pressure on you now. You know, to say, hey, no way, that's not on. I just want to see who we've got to deal with later. I mean, talk to afterwards. Okay. Now, what we are doing, we are establishing a specific goal. Now, when that will be, where that will be, and what you will do, that's a different question. And we need to work some of those things through. So maybe if I share some concepts and principles with you, you can draw out what you feel is applicable to you. If we haven't answered your questions, then will you raise your hands and we'll start discussing them through. Is that fair enough? You've been tremendous so far. Now, what I would add to that, that the commitment that you make on this area of target is that I will make it my goal to do this for at least 30 days. At least 30 days. Why 30 days? Anyone got any idea why we plucked 30 days out of the air? Habit, yes. It's habit forming. Yes, if you can do something for 30 days without missing, you will find you've almost begun a habit. And it's a good start. 30 days, let's aim at that. And then you'll review and you'll see how you're going. What happens? What happens if perchance you do fail one day? Say, oh, what's the use? No. You acknowledge failure. You confess it because you're making an agreement now. Lord, I'm going to dedicate to you this time each day. And if you break a promise, well, you'll tell the Lord about it. You'll confess it. Lord, I have failed you there. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I know you wanted to spend time with me. And so I acknowledge that. I will go on and we'll make sure that we do that tomorrow. In fact, you might like to work a deal out with the Lord so that if I don't do it, if I missed out today, I'll double it tomorrow. Be careful of that one. All right, what do we do? I'm not advocating that. That's dangerous. It is better, by the way, the scripture says this, it is better not to vow a vow than vow and not keep it. All right, let's run this through. The difficulty is, what do we do? What do we carry on with? What we want to achieve is a communication with the Lord. One, how does God speak to us? Say again. He speaks to us through the Word. As we read it, we get the mind and will of God. Every time we read the Bible, we should be saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want to hear what you've got to say. I want to learn something from you today. No matter when it is, if you're doing studies, or if you're preparing messages, never ever neglect to see what God is saying to you as you read it. Every time you open it, you've got the opportunity of learning something from God himself. God chooses to reveal himself to us. And we've got that privilege. So, okay, we are going to read the Bible because God will speak to us. How do we speak to God? As we pray, prayer is simply a word describing communication with deity. Communication, we're going to talk with God. And we'd like to see that it's a two-way conversation. Can I give you some ideas in handling the Word of God? The first thing that we need perhaps to do is ask God to help us understand it. That's the first thing. If you're going to read it, Lord, I do want you to speak to me through it. Help me understand it. This is your word. Speak to me through it. We do need to choose when. Read. We need to be systematic in our reading. Sometimes people say, well, let me see, I'll open the Bible and see what I can get today. And it's like reading your stars. There is no thought, I just want a lucky verse for today. Give me one, Lord, you know, zap, that's, yes, I've had my verse, thank you, Lord. And again, God is very gracious and sometimes he knows our needs and he'll humour us or whatever. God is far more able to cope with us than we are with him. Now, God has given us an intelligence and we need to use it. And my encouragement is that you read through the Word of God systematically, consistently, consecutively. You know what your needs are. You know what your capacity in understanding the Bible is. It's no good for a young believer to pick up passages that are very difficult because they're not going to be helped. But you need to work your way through. And if you're not too sure where to start, get alongside somebody who's a bit more mature than you and say, look, I'm really wanting to gain some information from the Lord. These are some of the needs in my life. What book should I be reading? Don't hesitate to ask for help from another believer. That's why we're in a family. And that's why we share with each other. We need to encourage. So select portions, books, letters of the Bible that will really be helpful and interesting. You know, some people pick hold of a section there and they start reading the genealogies through. And he begat and they begat. And I said, boy, I didn't get much out of that today. You know, you can run a guilt trip because I haven't read all the begats. Well, unless I'm wanting to pursue a genealogy, I will jump over the begats and get onto the business that I want to learn about. And, you know, that's not being unspiritual, but I'm there to learn. I'm not learn a specific thing. If I've got a desire to study people and genealogies, I'll go through them. But make sure that we're learning that which is going to be helpful to us. So we need to learn to read the Bible. Now, look, we said this morning. Isn't it easy to read words? You're looking at words and your mind is out there somewhere. We're reading words and we're there. We're at work, we're with our friends, we're thinking of a conversation last night, and we've read down a, oh, that's a chapter, I've done my bit. We've closed and we say, now, what did I read? And you haven't got a clue. Is that right? Never done it? I've done it, yes. So what I do, if I read down a passage and I find, hey, I'm thinking about other things, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not concentrating, I'm not listening to you. Elizabeth sometimes says to me something, and I say, mm-hmm. And she says, what did I say? And I say, well. And she picks it 9 times out of 10 when I'm not concentrating, I'm not listening, when I'm somewhere else. I try and bluff my way through, but she's only occasionally I can guess. Now, I'm embarrassed by that. You see, I do feel bad inside about that because it's not. Public confession tonight, it's good for the soul. But you see, when you don't pay attention, it's not good, is it? And that's exactly what we're doing as we read God's word. We're not paying attention. If you were to meet somebody who was very, very important in your estimation, and you've been looking forward to that meeting, would you listen to what they were saying? Would you hang on to each word? You would, very carefully. And you wouldn't want to miss a thing, would you? And yet we are able to gain from the Word of God, and we are casual. So if it is that we're reading and our minds are elsewhere, we are simply not concentrating. There's no secret to this. We are allowing our minds to run everywhere. Bring your minds under control and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not listening at the moment. I'm going to read that again till I hear what you're saying, till I understand what is written there. And so you concentrate on the passage and say, yes. Now, what I have done, and I will range on this, and is I'll have a pencil and I'll have a pad, and I will often write down things that I'm learning from the passage. Sometimes I will summarize the verse or the chapter, whatever it is, and I will be doing as I read, what is it that's standing out here? And I will use other methods to help my concentration. And we'll all go through stages and phases like that, but never ever accept that I'm not getting anything, I'm not listening, or I'm not understanding. Never break off in failure like that. Recognize that you've got to concentrate on it and do something with it. And if it is that you only spend time on one verse, but read it through until you say, yes, I see what that is saying. Now, it's irrelevant to me, but I see what it's saying. That's fine. You've at least understood the passage. You've seen what it says. But we often don't do that. We just read on and we let our minds go, and we know that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so something is wrong there. So we read the Bible and we do it with understanding. Now, we know this, but we often don't do it. And my encouragement, as you've made a goal already, and you said, yes, I'm going to spend X number of minutes with the Lord, that we say, all right, I'm going to do it intelligently. And I am going to read so that I understand, I will concentrate on it. So we need to read it. We may need to study it a bit. There'll be things that'll stand out and say, great stuff. Now, I want to learn more about that. I can't do it this morning, but I'll make a note that I'll go back and I'll actually study some concept, some word, something. But boy, I'm getting there. There may be questions that you've got about it. All right? There's no answer to it there. Write down your question. And then when you see a Christian who's a bit more mature than you, say, hey, listen, in my reading this morning, yesterday, I read this, I didn't understand it, what does it mean? Okay, you'll keep them on the ball. If they don't know, they'll point you to somebody else. If it's a passage that you don't understand at all, I just can't fathom this out, make a note of it, talk to another Christian. Look, I was reading this and I really didn't understand it. What does it mean? Get an answer. Never leave a passage of Scripture that doesn't make sense to you. Never leave it alone. Make a note of it and get with somebody else who can help you. That's common sense. It means a little bit of thinking and a bit of effort, but if we do it, we will grow. I have said that to new Christians, and some of them take you up on it. And every time you see it, they pull out a book and they've got pages of questions. They really have. And we work our way through them. It's exciting. Some of them are simple. Others are complex. I always guarantee to answer them, even if it's, I don't know, that's an answer. But we'll always say, there's always somebody who knows more than we know, and we can find them and we can get an answer to it. So make sure you've got a pencil and pad or something where you can record things. Also, we need to be able to, from time to time, meditate. It's a good thing, depends how long, if we're only putting 2 minutes aside, it's hard to meditate in 30 seconds, I know. But it's good to build that into our hand. These are things that you can do with the Bible. Memorize it. Learn to memorize the Bible. Okay, I've done that. I'm going to take this verse and I'm going to memorize this today. And also, learn to obey the Bible. Lord, I hear what you've said to me. Now I want to put it into practice. My encouragement is, do not handle the Bible in a passive sense. Don't be negative toward it. Make sure you pick it up and handle it as a book that is alive. And that's what it says. This is a living book. We need to be positive. We need to be aggressive with it. We need to be active. Here is God's word, and he wants to speak to me through it, and I want to hear. It becomes exciting. I do get encouraged immensely every time I read it through to find out things that God is saying, and to begin to associate things and see certain ideas and themes, and you learn things so often. One of the greatest encouragements I had was when I spoke to a man who was in his late 80s, a brilliant man. He was a scholar, an absolute scholar. And he said, you know, and he'd been a Christian nearly all his life. And he said, every time I read God's word, I find something refreshing there, something I've never seen before. Isn't that exciting? There is no other book in the whole world that's like that. And we've got the living word of God, and we treat it sometimes with such casualness. It's sad. So let's take hold of the word of God and, you know, look for answers. One of the best ways of getting answers to ask questions. Ask yourself questions as you read it. You know, is there anything that I can learn about God in the Bible? You know, what can I learn about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? What do I learn? For example, if you opened your Bible to Psalm 149, flip it open there quickly. Very quickly. Glance your eyes down there and tell me. Just glance, pick out a one or two verses, don't go from, just pick out a verse there and say, now is there anything I can learn about God out of this chapter? Pardon? Did I say 149? What did I say? 149? I think it might have been, I'll check it through. I might have given you a wrong one to begin with. I'll see if, which one was I after. No, I'm sorry, it should have been 145. Thank you, dear. We'll talk about this the other day, yes. 145. You'd probably find something in 149 anyway. So. Okay, anyone find anything that's of interest that tells them something about God in Psalm 145?
He's faithful.
He's faithful. Good stuff. Tremendous. God is faithful. He keeps his word. Praise him for that. You know, great stuff. Anyone else find anything interesting in that psalm? Anything about God? Great. Yes. Mighty. Okay. See what you can learn as you read God's word. Well, I just picked out one that's got some good thoughts in it. But the Bible is loaded with it. But if we're looking for things, I said, what can you find out about God? You start coming up with answers. If you ask questions, you will get answers. And, you know, people have put out little screeds that will help us ask questions as we read it through. Any direction to follow, any command to obey, any promise to claim, any sin to forsake. All of those things you can have at the back of your mind. So we need to handle the Bible right. We need also to pray. And a lot of folk have no idea of what to pray about. Lord, bless me today. Bless mum and dad. Bless me at work. Amen. And that's the content of a lot of prayers. Well, is that the way to go? No, we're told to be intelligent and we're to pray with understanding. Now, there's lots of little guidelines on how you should approach God. One of the best, of course, is what the Saviour taught himself. We probably should say it's the best. The Lord's Prayer. He gives us the clues of approach to our Father. And we need to learn from that. Somebody's put together a nice little acronym called ACTS, A-C-T-S. You've heard that one? A-C-T-S. And I believe fairly based on the Lord's Prayer. A is for adoration. When you come to God, and this is what the Lord Jesus said, okay, when you pray, you say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, we want to praise you, Lord, for who you are. We thank God for what he's done, but we praise him for who he is. Went to an all-night prayer meeting last year for a campsite, and the guys met together, and it was a new experience for some. And they said, well, what are we going to pray about all night? And we said, well, the first hour we're going to spend simply praising God. We're going to think of God and think of who he is and praise him for that which we know of him. And there were gulps. Gulp. What are we going to do? And if we stopped here tonight for a few moments and said, let's spend a half an hour praising God for who he is, we'd be saying, now what do I know about God? We praise him for who he is. And that is what Jesus was saying. Get to know God so you can genuinely praise him. Now that psalm that I just told you to look at would give you some clues there. Some great clues. We learn about God from the Bible. Let me read one that I shared during the Bible school we had here during the week in Chronicles 29. Okay, listen to this. Here is David as he praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. This is 1 Chronicles 29. He says, Praise be to you, O Lord, God and Father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. How long did it take David to pray that? 45 seconds. We were having a little thing about timing prayers in the Bible. You see, there's not many long ones. 45 seconds. How could David put that together? That blows my mind. Did you think that was great? I thought that was magnificent myself. I really did. The content of it is immense. How could David get that understanding of God? Because David spent time with God and he got to know him. And the more you get to know him, the better, the more enjoyable it is. So we need to be involved in adoration, praising God for who he is. There'll be something that you could praise him for. The C stands for confession. We praise God for who he is, and then we acknowledge, Lord, I must confess to you where I've failed you. You see, our sin and our iniquity come between us and God. And so very quickly, having acknowledged God and his goodness, who he is, we then confess our failures. And on the promise of 1 John 1:9, praising him for his faithfulness, he forgives us. And there's no barrier there to our fellowship. The T stands for thanksgiving. Let us thank him. And again, in the Lord's Prayer, we've got this. We need to thank him for the blessings that he gives to us, for the things that we enjoy. And the S stands for supplication, when we pray for other things. It's a good little sequence. And if you want to know how to pray, if you're not too sure about it, run that through. Let me praise God. I'll adore him. I'll confess my failures. I will thank him for the blessings he gives. And I will pray for things, for others, for myself, for whatever. And you will find that if you run that through, you may be spending more than your 2 minutes before the Lord. You may say, boy, there's 20 minutes gone, and I didn't even notice it. My experience with people is that as they make their devotional times real and alive, that they grow them. They're gaining so much, to become so enriching, and they want to spend more and more time. Now, there, look, that's only just a few little things, and our time's running out rapidly. It's probably already gone. But that's not new to you. I'm sure most of you have heard that before, but we forget to do it. Now, make sure that your approach to the time that you're going to spend with the Lord is real. Make a prayer list. Pray for things. Write them down. Check off the answers as they come. Make it alive. And I would suggest that one of the things that you should do, and Craig has introduced that to us, you should get with a group of your friends, two or three of you here at camp, and say, look, yes, I need encouragement and in my devotion time, and I'm serious, I really want to spend a time each day with the Lord. So will you check me out on this? Will you check out how I'm going? I'll check you out. And you start checking with each other on a daily basis. How did your time with the Lord go today? Don't ring them up and say, have you had your quiet time? That is aggressive, and you'll get people defensive. But you're genuinely concerned with, hey, have you had, you know, how is your time with the Lord gone today? I haven't had it yet, but I'm working on it. Okay, I encourage Mary. When are you going to have it? And you say, well, I'm going to do it before tea tonight. Okay, I'll ring you back after tea just to make sure you've been able to do it. Now, that is accountability. Are you prepared to do that? How many of you would like to be under that pressure? Okay. I didn't quite catch that one, but
Telecom
would love it, yes. Now, we haven't got time to get you in groups to do that. But I would love for you to work out such a commitment with a group of you here at camp. Okay, don't do it with folk who are miles away, but in your own area. Start getting that. And if there's no one here that you can work with, make sure when you get back home that you get with some other folk and say, listen, I really am serious. I want to make sure that I'm having my devotion with the Lord. I've committed myself to do that. But I want to be accountable for someone to follow me through. And if you do that, it's great. We've got a group of young fellows in our church fellowship who are being worked with. And that's exactly what's happening there. And their lives are turning around. They are working with one another. And they are building into each other's lives. They've accepted the responsibility of spending time with God. And they check one another out. And they do it sincerely, consistently, and it's observable, the difference in their lives. Absolutely. They're developing not only a hunger for the Lord and his word, but a commitment to other believers. Now, I know there's dozens and dozens of other things we should have been talking about. Are there any questions just there? Any questions? We haven't talked about going to sleep praying. If you go to sleep when you're praying, can I suggest you stand up and pray? And if you find that you go to sleep standing up, walk while you pray. And if you still find it difficult, pray out loud. Put all those things together. They'll stop. There's practical things you can do. Yes, somebody had their hand up.
Does your quiet time have to be necessarily all done in one hit, or can you sort of take it on?
Oh, I would hope that your daily devotion is a segment of your time with the Lord. That's just where you stop and then you learn a bit. But I would hope that your walk with the Lord is throughout the whole day and you keep sharing with the Lord at different times, depending what's going on. But this, what we're talking about now is, okay, I'm going to do that now, but you're saying, well, look, I'm going to do some now and I'll do a bit more later. If you can organise that, great. But really try and get that time where you just spend it with the Lord. This is for you, Lord. I'm devoting this time to sharing with you. But then as you go through the day, yeah, read, share, pray, whatever. Okay? Any other question? Okay. Let me share one passage in closing. How are we for time, Chief? Where's the Chief? What time does our program start? We finished, have we?
We'll start our program, I'd say, a quarter hour after 22.
Okay, thank you. You're very kind. No. All right. Thank you for the reinforcement there. Just turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, I'll run this through quite quickly, but I want you to catch hold of Paul's attitude. Let me just check another passage while we're looking at that. Can't pick it up at the moment. Okay, let me read this to you. We're going to start at verse 7. Paul says here, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is faith through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." See Paul's great desire, I want to know him. And he spends time with him so he can know him. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's growing passion was to continue to learn more and more of Christ, to know him better. Verse 12, he said, look, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. Look, this is my desire, this is my goal, that I'll know him. He set a goal. And that's what I've been saying to you tonight. Let's set a goal to know Christ better. He said, look, I'm not there yet. And I'm not perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In this passage, over and over again, Paul is saying, I am doing my absolute utmost to achieve this. Human responsibility. He's not sitting back and saying, Lord, zap me. Lord, plug into me and give it to me, Lord. He is saying, I am committing myself with every ounce of energy and desire I can muster to get hold of Christ and to gain, to reach out after that which He's got for me. He's using athletic terms here. He's using hunting terms. I pursue, I chase, I go for it. We sit back and say, I can't get out of the bed. See, it's a different ball game, isn't it? Can you see the different intensity? He is committed to this with tremendous desire. Human responsibility. We don't like the thought of it. But we are responsible to do our parts. This is not working our way to heaven. Christ has already done that for us. But this is our commitment to achieve that which He's got for us. It's to His glory. My people are doing it because they want to. I'm not making them. They love me and they're wanting to do it for me. Paul says this, and this answers one of the questions. He said, there is one thing that I do, by the way, to achieve this. I forget what is behind. Okay. Paul also had a past. You know the mistakes, the failures, the sins that keep coming back and say, God's not interested in me, or I failed God and I'm no good. And you know how it slows us down? We get sluggish and we get depressed and we get saddened and it's no good. That's what the devil wants of us. But Paul says, I have learned to forget that which is behind. You can never change the past. Note that. The past is history. It can never be changed. No good going over and over and over it. It'll be the same. I said to folk during the Bible school, I remember watching Essendon beat Carlton in the grand final and the year before last. I barracked for Carlton. I saw the match. I saw the match on television. And later that night, when we came home, they were replaying it. And you wouldn't believe it. Essendon won it again. I didn't watch it all, but they did. They won it again, and I saw it again the next day. They seemed to play it for weeks and weeks. And you know, every time they replay that match, Essendon still wins. Carlton make the same mistakes. It's still the same. You see, it's history. You can't change it. No matter how you go over, it's there. It's done. And in our lives, we make mistakes and we fail. No matter how you go over, it's still the same. You can't change it. No good saying, if only, if only. It will stop you. You've got to learn to resolve the past. And the resolution of the past goes into two categories. One, you either need to be forgiven where you've failed. Or two, you need to forgive somebody who's failed you. Okay? Forgiveness is essential in resolution of the past. And so Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget that which is behind me. If he sat down to think of his failures, he would have never been any value for God at all. And you only have to read in Acts what Paul was into. And he acknowledges that he was responsible for the splitting up of Christians' families. He was responsible for the execution and torture of believers. And you read his story and it's horrific. And Paul can close his eyes and he could conjure up in his imagination all these atrocities that he was responsible for. How could God use a man like him? He said, there's one thing I've learned. Having known forgiveness, I forget the past and I press on. Some of you have failed and you're allowing that to stop you spending time with the Lord. He knows. He wants you to be forgiven so you can be the people He's designed you to be. To press on, but we've got to do it with enthusiasm. We've got to be disciplined. We've really got to go out, all out after it. If we don't, we'll be passive, puny believers. And who wants that? God wants men of God. He wants women of God, not pathetic people. And I look at you and I see tremendous potential. Every one of you. God has got potential in you if you'll go out after it. And Paul says, I know what God's got in front for me. He's got a high calling and he's got it for us. And he said, I'm going to go for it. Hey, do we need motivation? Look at it, it's there. Let's be committed. Let's be dynamic. We can win because Christ gives us the victory. We need to be enthused. We need to encourage one another. And if somebody is down and they say, oh, I just don't feel like my quiet time, say, come on, share with me. Let's spend it together with the Lord. Okay? Husbands and wives, sometimes one is on the ball and the other is slow. Encourage one another. Don't criticize one another. We're told to build one another up, not destroy. We need to be encouragers together. Get this degree of accountability together and go out after it. Okay? Let's go for it. You see, disciples, they do spend time with their master, and we'll demonstrate the effect of it in our lives. Okay, I think we'd better finish there. I was going to have an open time of questioning because there's other areas that folk want to raise, but I think we'll have to leave that till tomorrow. And anything that we've raised in the past days, you are free to sort of ask questions on. I'll try and bring the next session in much shorter. And then it's an open time of discussion. Let's pause. Let's have a moment of prayer. And then we shall move into the next program. Nice and quiet. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're alone with the Lord in our thoughts. Some of the things that we've been tossing around tonight, how about confirming that with the Lord right now in the quietness of your own heart? Lord, from this point of time on, I am committing myself to you to spend X number of minutes per day. Lord, for you, I want to do this. I really believe I can achieve this with your help. Okay, how long is it? You tell the Lord what you're committing yourself to. I need your help, Lord. You know my weaknesses. But I'm really going to do my part in it. I'm going to have to resolve certain problems. I'm going to get a bit organized. But Lord, I'm going to do it. I want to share it with you. I want to learn from your word. And if I'm not achieving it, I'm going to ask others to help me. Okay? And I'm going to stick at that for 30 days. And I'm going to review it at 30 days, and I hope I might be able to increase the time after that. We're looking for a daily commitment for 30 days. Lock into that and see what happens. Okay. Our Father, you know the desire of the hearts of those here tonight. We would believe, Lord, it is your desire for us to spend time with you. In fact, we know it's your will because you invite us to. And you've made it possible for us to come with absolute confidence into your presence. Lord, we know that this hadn't been possible until Christ came. And now, Lord, with the uniqueness that we've got in him, help us to understand it and to really make the most of it, and that the end result will be glory to Christ. Stimulate our thinking, challenge our hearts afresh, help us to encourage each other to achieve these desires that we have tonight. Lord, as we continue to fellowship together and enjoy the program that we're going to have, we pray that we'd be able to honour you in all things and that we would be conscious of your presence in our lives. Lord, we want to praise you again for who you are. We want to praise you for your faithfulness that you keep your word. Lord, help us to enjoy this and rejoice in it. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.